Welcome to the Blue Hour. This week we've got some exciting stuff. It's episode 30, and we're going to chat about an executive order that came out from the president's office. There's some exciting things happening in the world of AI that Charlie pulled together, and there's a huge AI event happening next Monday. Let's kick it off with Biden's executive order on AI. I pulled some like high-level notes. The objective was aiming to ensure the U.S. leads in harnessing AI benefits while mitigating associated risks, which is very broad. Do you know exactly what's in this thing?
I mean, I read it. It's not very long. It's like a 5-minute read. It's a bunch of bullet points. It's really similar. I remember we had spoken maybe in like January or no, it must have been February or April. There's an executive order on blockchain tech, maybe. Do you remember that? Am I making that up?
Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah, there's, and it was similarly like, oh, okay, I'm going to read this. This is topical. People are all talking about it. And you read it and it's like, what the, this literally says nothing.
Yeah. So, got the hard hitting four bullet points here.
Yeah, what do you have?
So they want new standards for AI safety and security. So they want people who are developing the big AI systems, they're now required to share safety test results and crucial information with the government, especially if they pose serious national risks, which basically means they want these companies to just share test results with them. Cool. I don't think there's anything necessarily there that says how they're doing that and how they're making sure that they're sharing everything. But second thing is they're mandating the development of standards and tools and tests to ensure AI safety, security, and trustworthiness. Which means that they just want people to develop these things that have never existed before. I'd assume that would take a very long time with the government.
Yeah.
Probably much slower than the rate at which things are growing right now.
Yeah.
But an interesting thing if they could nail it. And then it addresses risks of AI and engineering dangerous biological materials, AI-enabled fraud and deception, and stipulates advanced cybersecurity measures.
Yeah,
which is cool. I think addressing that's cool. I don't know exactly how they plan. Like, from what I can tell, it doesn't seem like there is any like real things going into place for that.
Yeah.
Rather than just talking about it and getting the wheels in motion. And then the last part of it was encouraging the acceleration of privacy preserving techniques and research, and evaluating how agencies collect and use commercially available information. So basically looking at how AI uses people's consumers' data.
Yeah.
But that says encouraging. So encouraging the acceleration. It's by no means like having, oh, we're putting this much money towards this thing and this is how they're going to go about doing it.
Exactly.
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah. The thing that really stood out to me is that it's focusing on foundation models instead of the applications built on top of them. And so it's inhibiting the ability for people to create new models. And we talk a lot about GPT-4, 3.5, but then also there are all these Hugging Face open source algorithms that are available to use. And the idea that then those models become regulated, I think, is sort of odd, because what you would want to do is because those aren't necessarily consumer facing, but what you want to do is regulate the things that are built on top of them that are consumer facing. Because then it's a non-technical application. So it's like sort of abstracts away the technicality of it. So I thought that it was a little bit weird that it tries to like put a collar on foundation models. I understand the idea of that, but in practice, it seems as though there's somebody who wrote, like the people in the room who are discussing this don't understand the actual, like what this actually is, it seems, which is really, I read through it. I was like, oh, this is interesting. I read through it and I was like, this is the exact same feeling I had reading the blockchain one year, like months ago or whatever it was. It's like, they clearly don't understand what this is.
Yeah. I do think with the foundational stuff, it's you could take a foundational model and then create something that, like the biological stuff, I don't think that would be a consumer facing thing. It'd be somebody like, oh, I want to create like dangerous biological materials to go, you know, create some sort of chemical weapon, which if they think that's a real thing, I guess going after kind of the root level would help.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know. It's pretty, you can build stuff like that now without AI. Yeah. So
that's a good point.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how people who, like, the people that they think are going to do bad stuff with it, like, how do, it's like regulating a criminal, you know? You should honestly just be creating more of an investigative task force to find specific people and like investigate how you could catch them, rather than going ahead and trying to take away the actual good stuff that people are building.
Yeah. My takeaway, I literally wrote down, it tries to limit AI.
Yeah.
And I wrote down it tries to limit an AI. It focuses on foundation models, which is silly, which maybe is very judgmental and opinionated. And then the other one is very little space for open source is really what I wrote. So I don't really know. It's hard to say. I think that I don't really know. I don't necessarily know that it really matters. Like,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you know, that's the kind of the point. It's like, wow, this is like feels so important. Then you read it, it's like, wait, is this really that important? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to say. It's interesting.
Honestly, from what I see, it looks mostly like ink on paper and not actually people going and doing stuff. But we'll see.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting. Actually, this related, because I remember I was driving like 2 months ago. You had sent me a link while I was driving, and then I subsequently popped into it. And it was a call for submissions ahead of this executive order. So they were asking for public insights. And so I'm sure it was based on a lot of that, which is great. And then I'm sure also Sam Altman and those folks were very much involved in going to, you know, the Anthropic CEO, and those folks were all probably very much involved in telling them what it is they should be thinking about. But yeah, you would use the word nothing burger. And I think that's probably a pretty good way to explain it.
Oh, yeah.
Interestingly, my father forwarded me the New York State Law Journal, New York State Law Journal this week, or it comes out daily, but I'd seen it on like Monday of this week. And I took like two pages of notes on different things. And ultimately, it's really just not really stuff that we need to talk about. But none of the things that are controversial about ChatGPT and these large language models, at least from a legal perspective, are people using it to create biological warfare.
Yeah,
they're not about people creating these terrorist use cases. They're really about people getting caught with inaccurate citations and like attorneys submitting things thinking with not doing their due diligence, really. It's like they're not reading into the actual citations, and then they submit it as if it's right, and then they defend it thinking that it's definitely right. And then in reality, the judges are like, you're straight up wrong. This is not accurate. This is like, and then so they're realizing what hallucinations are in a very different way than how we do. You know, you type in your own name and you ask it where you went to college, it'll hallucinate. It'll give you a wrong answer. There's one in, I don't know how many the odds are that it would get it right for us, but like very slow. It doesn't know. It's not a fact finder, right? So it's not going to be able to know that inherently. It'll just like tell you a story that seems accurate, which is why it's so interesting for like, you know, creative use cases, but for attorneys who are trying to use it as like a citation, the ability to like look on precedent and then recall those cases and cite them, it'll do that, but it'll just completely make them up sometimes. These guys don't know that. So funny.
It's almost a testament to how lazy people are. Like,
yes,
I mean, I think that's the funniest thing about a ChatGPT is most people who use it are not thinking very hard about how they're using it. They're just like, I want the quickest point from A to B to make my life easier and make me do less stuff so I can go watch videos on my phone instead of doing
brief. It's very funny, dude. Yeah. There are so many examples of it. It's ridiculous. New York State, Texas, Florida, they're all over the place. But the other thing that seemed to be trending is really, you know, a lot of that, what I just explained, it's shocking how much of the content of this like newspaper publication that comes out daily is about that. It specifically had an article about ChatGPT, which is really interesting, but it really just talking about how people need to understand that this is not, you need to fact check it. It's helpful, but it's not like, as we've said in the past, it's not an omniscient oracle that like knows everything, which goes without saying, but people don't necessarily know that inherently, which is funny. But then you do also see a lot of defamation and copyright cases. We've spoken about that as well. So people who say, this is taking my voice, this is taking my content and reiterating it in a way that is not actually me writing it, but then it's using it. And that should be something that I should be able to monetize. I read an interesting article over lunch today about how the ability to publish books is really a privilege. And this is sort of democratizing that access. I don't know if I really agree I don't know. It's an interesting point the article was trying to make. I don't know that it's really well developed. It was saying that like this allows for anybody, including mentally handicapped folks, to be able to publish books. I know that you've published a book on Amazon, you know, and not to draw a parallel to the same thing, like the second sentence, but like the argument was very handicapped. Yeah. I'm sorry, I did not mean to make that
point. You just threw intention. It up and I.
But the whole point of the article was it's very hard to publish books. This has been a 1-2% of the upper crust that are able to do that to begin with. And access to books is only within the next 500 to 1,000 years. That's a huge advent in the availability of information, but the ability to also then publish information and like get your own ideas out there. This allows for that to become easier. I don't know that that presupposition is necessarily true because you wrote a book that was published on Amazon with relatively low barrier. Barrier to entry for that was relatively low.
There's no barrier really besides writing it and creating, because they'll print it for you. So you have to create a book cover and a PDF. But outside of that, like, there's not really a barrier. I think it's interesting the using AI to recreate my voice. I don't see a problem with it as long as they're not claiming to be that person. Like, if I wrote a book and it was called like Inliers by Malcolm Gladwell and I published it and I used AI to write a version of a book that sounded exactly like him and I was saying that I was him, like, definitely bad. But if I use
AI, that's already bad from a legal perspective. It's already bad. Like, that's copyright infringement, and you know, there's already precedent around that.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, if I spent a week studying his style of writing and then I wrote a book that sounded in the very same voice, which I could do hypothetically, successfully or not, I think I could publish that now, and just AI makes that faster. So I don't know if I really connect on the, because one cool tool I built before Prompt Perfect blew up was called Resumation, which has your resume and you look at it in a standard style, but then you press buttons. And I had a Hemingway button, which would create a very mini short story of what my resume was in his voice, which I thought was, and there was all these other ones like funny, super succinct, reverse psychology. But like, I mean, I used his name and maybe that was bad. But like, I could have just said novel-esque. But I thought that was really cool and a cool use case. I don't think I don't think the Hemingway family was going to come after me to be like, well, resumes can't be written dynamically like our grandfather.
Yeah, exactly.
But it is very possible to copy-ish somebody's writing style super fast.
That's a good point. Yeah, I think that most of the, based on the reading I was doing earlier today, it really seems like most of those have been dismissed. There's very little that's actually been sort of like OpenAI is being sued and they're not really having to pay up for that sort of thing. It's a tough thing to have to litigate. Let's hear about Dev Day. I honestly don't know much about this. So I'd like to hear sort of, you spoke about it so much to me. I'd like to hear
more
about
why. So I don't know when this goes live, but we're recording on November 2nd. And on November 6th, 2023 is OpenAI Dev Day. So it's a big event where they're going to be announcing a bunch of things. I have a tweet from Sam Altman pulled up and it says, OpenAI Dev Day is next week. We have some great new stuff for you. We'll be live streamed. So anybody can watch the keynote. And then I saw another tweet from an employee that just says Dev Day is going to be unreal. So all these people saying that there's like big announcements coming. It's the first time we've seen OpenAI do like an Apple type event where, you know, Jobs would go up and announce like everybody was talking about it. And it's like the iPhone's out or the MacBook's out.
Which Apple is interesting. Watch.
The Apple
Siri,
all
of those. I watched all of those in high school. I loved them.
Yeah, and there's a lot of buzz. Like, I applied to, you had to apply to go and get accepted, and you know, I have one of the most popular plugins on the platform and didn't get invited. And I was going to pay them to go. I was going to pay them like $500 for the ticket. So it had a very high demand, and I think, I mean, it sounds like they're going to deliver. It'll be very funny if it's a flop and they're like, there's nothing that anybody's excited about, but I would assume that they're prepared.
What do you think? Tell me, like, what do you think, dude?
So the big thing, and we've talked about before, is GPT-4, which you get access to if you pay for the premium plan, is hand and fist better than hand over fist better than 3.5. But building on that API is super expensive. So I've heard talk, and I think they'll probably drop the price of that. They might also drop the price of 3.5, which we use for Prompt Perfect and is already very cheap, but makes it way cheaper to build these AI products, which is cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I think we'll probably see GPT-4 cheaper for people to use. I think they might release GPT-4 to all users. Like, I think there might be a version that goes to all users.
That'd be crazy. Would be interesting. Yeah, that'd be rad. Gosh, that'd be a big deal. It's one thing to make the API less expensive. That's a very niche thing, though. Not many people are building on it. Maybe, I mean, a lot of people will be excited.
It's exciting for me, yeah.
It's exciting for us, yeah. So like, yeah. God, fuck yeah, it's awesome. But I just mean like in general for all like the hype machine behind it. It's hard to imagine that that's the announcement.
Yeah, it's
so nerdy, you know.
Yeah, so I think they'll take some big swings, and they already have GPT-4 built into ChatGPT. People have been using it since March. So I think they'll roll that out to all users.
Cool.
The question is, are they going to roll out their other beta features that you get, or the beta features you get access to with ChatGPT Plus, which is
That'd be crazy.
Yeah. Advanced data analysis, which used to be called code interpreter, browsing with Bing, and now they have V, like you can put images in and you can put files in as well. And they have Dolly. So I think, I mean, the real big event would be if they just pushed all that to free people.
And that'd be fucking crazy.
Yeah, that would be insane. Outside of that, I don't really know what they have unless they release a new model, which I don't think they would. I mean, I guess they could.
Yeah, I mean, just we do so much like sleuthing intentionally. There's been so little talk of that. So I don't know if that really, that'd be very surprising. That means that everybody's been very, very tight-lipped, which is hard to imagine.
Yeah, super hard to imagine.
But they do allude to the fact that they would release some of these beta features to all users.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty crazy. That would be really crazy. It's also, I just realized, is it Monday or Tuesday?
Monday.
So the following Tuesday, not that Tuesday, but the following Tuesday is a big Microsoft event.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that they could be rolling it out. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah.
I'd assume anything they announce won't go live tomorrow, probably with like a coming very soon. Although,
yeah, what do you mean tomorrow? You mean the 6th?
Yeah, I mean the 6th. Like they're not. Yeah. I don't think the things they announced will probably come out that same day, but it'll be more of like a PR day to get people excited, and then it'll come out soon. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's always this back and forth where, like, you know, Bard came out in March, and then they released GPT-4 right after that, and then, you know, Bing integrated, and then ChatGPT released these beta features. And Google releases these integrations, then Microsoft announces Copilot. It's like they are all kind of just stacking these things.
Yeah. Google just put a ton of money into Anthropic as well. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, which is wild. But
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what other features. I've heard people say I don't know where I've heard it mentioned, but like an AI app store that's kind of similar to the plugin store, but separate. That AI OpenAI could announce, but I don't know what that would be. And then like features. Cool. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what else it could be.
Yeah. Me neither. They just released, I don't think that we mentioned it. ChatGPT 4 now has the ability to, in the same chat, you can use the data analytics tool, DALL-E. You can use all of the different features, which you should be like sort of siloed into different chats because you have to choose whether or not you want to use the data analytics or DALL-E or Bing browsing or plugins. And still plugins is siloed. So that's the only one that's not available with the others. That'd be really cool if they allowed for plugins to be included in that. But I don't think that's a big enough announcement for them to be hyping it up like this. Yeah. It just seems so abstract because it's only for Plus users. It's got to be something with 3.5 or maybe the ability for 4 to now be the available model, but obviously they're not gonna, but that means that they don't get money from us, right? So like how would they justify that as a business perspective? Like they'd have to still have a paid tier, right? So I don't know.
Curveball, they released all the new features, but with 3.5. So what if like you got browsing, advanced data, DALL-E, vision, like putting images in, and plugins with 3.5.
That's interesting. I never use 3.5 anymore, so I don't really know. I talked to my brother about it yesterday, and we were just saying how I was just explaining the difference. I was thinking about it as like the ability for the information sort of, I think of it as just being less flow of information, just the way I kind of visualize it in my mind. And so the availability for it to make those neural links, the ability for it to make that neural network connection is lesser because the model's smaller. It's more limited in size. I don't know if that's the right way to think about it, but that's the way I articulated it yesterday.
Yeah. I really don't know. So
it's exciting though.
I think there's going to be something that we don't even consider that they're going to roll out. And we're going to eat it.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait. That'll be Monday, so I'll definitely have the live stream on. Awesome. But there are just a few other things I've written down. Some of them will just not even mention. But there is a cool book that Reid Hoffman, who's one of the co-founders of OpenAI, put out called Impromptu, Amplifying Our Humanity Through AI. And he draws comparisons between the 3.5 model and the 4 model and the ability the 3 model and the 3.5 model. And the ability for it to answer and be creative and be funny. Mm-hmm. He uses the example in the first couple of pages of how many, you know, random thing, however, you know, how many, you know, MTA drivers, like bus drivers, does it take to fix them or to change a light bulb? And it has these comparisons between the old models and the new models and how much better it is at being creative. It's pretty cool. I really appreciated that. So that's worth reading. I haven't read the entire thing, but it's it's probably like 150 pages, a little less. Some interesting topics, at least in the chapter titles. Did you come across that by any chance, the Reid Hoffman book?
Mm-mm, no.
Yeah. I'll send it to you. I think it could be worth checking out. I just wrote down the future releases. Also, Apple released a whole new line of computers with M3 chips, and M3 chips are really optimized for optimizing the GPU stack. They make it such that they're able to make processing faster, and that really is sort of alluding to the fact that AI is not going anywhere, and it's just going to get better and better. So it's going to be up to 2.5 times faster for AI applications, which is pretty freaking cool. That's pretty much all I had. All the other stuff's not really that interesting, but
yeah. So the GPUs thing, that's like if you're running an actual AI model on your computer. Nice.
Exactly. Yeah. For like if you download some open source Hugging Face stuff, yeah, you're able to run it faster, much faster. 2.5 times faster, I think it's that. Yeah, 2.5 times.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. I do think a lot. Yeah. One thing I've thought about, I mentioned to you recently, is like, there are so many different contexts that I'd like to have OpenAI or ChatGPT, I should say, have for me. And I just have one login and I pay for it, pay per plus with one. You know, I don't want to pay for it with like 5 email addresses. That would solve this problem because you're then able to provide it with the context for each of those different use cases. But it would be nice to be able to have like some sort of application I'm running on my computer that allows for me to have select the person I want to, like the expert I want to be speaking to or the expert I want to be referencing. So having one that's in the CPG industry, one that's in the bookkeeping, you know, expert, one that's this or that, or legal expert or tax expert. And having those have specific context, that could be really long contexts, right? So it's like, this is everything about this business that's relevant to you potentially, but I don't have to type that in every time or even copy paste it every time. It just has that context. I think that would be interesting. So I'm thinking about why you would want to run things like that on your computer. That's the big thing that I think of. I haven't done that yet, but, I do think it's interesting.
That's super interesting.
Yeah.
I had one more thought on Dev Day that just came into my brain. Maybe this is my call in my shop, but what if OpenAI releases almost a platform similar to like a Shopify, but for building apps with like prompt based apps? Like you could very easily spin up your own application that does a specific thing. I could see them doing something like that, which is more encouraging people to build, but something that I I've played around with building apps like that, and it's cool. And most people sleep on that. Yeah.
That's a really cool idea. That's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. I would use that. Especially if they build in, like, I mean, they're a research lab, so monetization isn't their main plan. But if they built something where, you know, integrated with Stripe and they get a cut of all of the fees for people building these things and having people go use them, would almost be like creating a marketplace for the AI apps of the future, which would be wild.
That's a cool idea. Yeah, I can't imagine. It'd be such a fun. I remember I was looking through recently, going through Firefox and getting rid of all of my like porting over my bookmarks or like the things that I've saved there to a new browser that I've been using called Arc, ARC, which I love. And I found old jobs that I bookmarked over the years in this folder, and OpenAI was one of them from like 2017. I was like, this is such a cool company to work for, you know. Like, they don't hire sales folks, you know, they don't hire marketers. They just hire machine learning devs and Python devs and DevOps and stuff like that. But I remember thinking, like, oh, if they ever come out with a consumer-facing product, maybe I'd be able to sell that. meanwhile, it's just available for $20 a month, and they got ripping subscribership without any salespeople at all, which is amazing.
Yeah, if they have 5 minutes, they probably make $100 million in revenue a month just from subscribers at least.
Can you imagine? That's legit. That's legit, dude.
Yeah.
That's legit. I don't even think about the fact that that's one of the subscriptions that I even bat an eye about. There's no world in which I'm going to get rid of that.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah, I use it too much. It's wouldn't make sense to get rid of it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Sweet. Well, it's, you know, I'm bundled up over here. It's winter time, but I could maybe take this off if you have a hot take.
I don't know, man. I feel kind of brain dead. I don't know if I have a hot take. Do you have a hot take lined up?
Yeah, we could skip hot takes this week, even though you know, we're going to have to deal with hordes of fans just being on the stand for it.
I think your hot takes have definitely been your product not guesses, but like your inkling as to what they might release. I think those are pretty hot. Those are pretty good. I mean,
I'd love to talk pretty on the ground with OpenAI. So like,
yeah, exactly.
I don't know, but I think the like built that last little thought could be something where they just release like a consumer marketplace where you can build almost like a Shopify. Instead of building a store, you build an AI app. Calling it.
That's such a cool idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be fun to review it next week, to watch it and then think about what happened and then talk about it. It'll be fun. Yeah, definitely. There's so much going on. It's ridiculous.
I know. It's crazy. Yeah,
it really is crazy. So much of it has seemed like I read through these things and it's like one thing happens and everybody has an opinion on it. So the actual things that are happening are like, you know, one or two things happen every day, or which is a lot. But then there are 1,000 people who have opinions about that. And those 1,000 people are, you know, a lot of them are smart people. So you want to get their take. And then you realize like, wait, this is just redundant opinions.
Yeah.
But the same factoid, like the presidential thing that they had announced was one of those examples. It's like, everybody's got an opinion on it.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's really just no news here. You just got to read it. And you're like, okay, well, it's not like you really need the funnel of all these people to tell you what happened. It's pretty simple. It's all written in English. So yeah, it's interesting. I'm trying to like get a better understanding of like the sort of things that are important each week. And there's a lot happening, and there's certainly certainly a lot to talk about. There was one other thing that I read about that was just that somebody, Chamath Palihapitiya, who we've spoken about in the past, just had like a tweet about like AI math. And he was just saying how things in a year are going to be 40 times better just as a result of the way that chips improve and models improve and CapEx scales. And so there's going to be 40 times better in the next year, and then 20 to 40 the following year. And then by 2026, it's 2023 for reference. So in 3 years, it could be 800 to 1600 times better, or like larger or faster, the ability for it to process things. And so it's really just like, it's a testament to exponential growth and the ability for things to like have those what are they called? What's the name of that, that whole idea that not diminishing returns, the opposite, it's exponential returns.
Yeah, scaling laws. I don't know.
Yeah, but yeah,
that's crazy. Yeah, imagine. Yeah, you think if you've only used the free version of ChatGPT, you have literally no clue what it's going to be like when things can scale up.
It's crazy. Yeah, it'd be really cool. I think his point was very much like, it's not like what will be possible as much as what won't be possible, which is just like, what the fuck are you talking about? That's crazy. It's cool. Crazy. It's cool. All right. So no hot takes this week. It's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I think my hot take is that sweater you got on is new, and I like that. I think you can treat yourself
sometimes. Got this at a thrift store, Sun Valley, Idaho.
I like that, dude. Fuck yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's styling, dude. I love it. Nice.
Right, sweet. Well, appreciate you. Thanks to Josiah Soren for the intro music. And we'll see you on the other side of next week.
Yeah, exactly. Can't wait. It'll be fun. All right, cool. All right, ciao, everybody.